Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew, the 27th chapter. We're going to begin in the 11th verse there. Matthew chapter 27, the 11th verse. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that they had hard-handed him over because of envy. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out even more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, just reading the truth that Jesus was sent to crucifixion, knowing, Father, that it was for my sins, I am gripped with sadness, Father, and thankfulness. I pray, Father, that you would use this time to move our hearts to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we started the trials of Jesus. We said that he was taken before Annas, then shifted over to Caiaphas, and there he was tried. That was the Jewish trial, and they tried him. Now, they could have killed him, but they did not want to do that. You see, the masses were following Jesus, and the masses that were following Jesus were masses that they wanted to come to the temple. They didn't want to set up a barrier to them coming to the temple. They wanted this to be a Roman thing. They wanted this to be a judgment taken by the state and not by the church. And so they charged Jesus. They sentenced him. They sentenced him to die. The charge very clearly was blasphemy. Now they bring Jesus before Pilate, the Roman governor. They probably woke him up for this process. They seek a charge against him. They seek an immediate conviction. They seek an immediate judgment. They bring him before Pilate. Pilate is an interesting character. Pilate knew what it was to have nothing. Pilate was born a slave. He earned his freedom the hard way. He worked for it. He rose through the ranks. He started out with less than nothing and then became a soldier and then moved through the ranks and found himself in a position to marry well. It's usually probably a good thing if you have a choice to marry well, to marry well, and he married well. He married Caesar's relative. Now, if you need to be in a family, Caesar was a good family to be in some of the time. And so he pleased Caesar, and Caesar, because of his niece, appointed Pilate governor. Governor over Palestine. Governor over the Jews. Governor over one of the port cities of the world at that time. He was charged with keeping order with the Jews. Keep the Jews happy. What a tough thing to do. The Jews didn't like him. Well, that's an understatement. The Jews absolutely despised him. Pilate pushed against them. You know, some people just know how to rub salt in the wounds. Pilate was that kind of guy. He knew the Jews hated Roman rule, and so what did he do? He put the Roman insignia absolutely everywhere. All the Roman soldiers had the Roman insignia on their shields. Everywhere that a Jew would look, he would see the Roman insignia, and they hated it. He decided the city needed water. Now, the Romans had a great knack for building aqueducts. And aqueducts would carry water, fresh water, many, many miles. What a fascinating thing it is to see how advanced they were in this technology. In fact, today, you can go to Jerusalem and you can see part of the aqueduct that Pilate had constructed. The aqueduct brought water into the center of the city of Jerusalem. And in his mind, Pilate thought, well, this is water for the Jews. Let's get money from the Jews. And so he raided the temple treasury in order to pay for the building of the aqueduct. Can I tell you, the Jews hated the aqueduct? And they hated the thought of their own money had to go for buying. You know, they didn't mind it being built. They just didn't want to pay for it. Sounds like a lot of people today in today's world. They don't know that there's a cost for the things that you get as civil service. And so here is Pilate. He is hated, and yet he's in a position that's tenuous. He doesn't want bad reports to go to Caesar. He wants to maintain his power, and if he gets another move, he wants to move up. He begins this passage as the judge. In truth, he's not the judge. In truth, Jesus is the judge. God has appointed a day when Jesus will judge everyone, and that includes Pilate, and that includes you, and that includes me. You can't be neutral about Jesus. Pilate wanted to stay that way. He wanted to stay in a political stance of just being neutral, not making a choice. You've got to make a decision. And today, I want you to make a decision about Jesus. Today, I want you to determine who he is to your life, who he is to the lives of others, who you represent if you know him, if you follow him. It is assuredly that Jesus will be the final judge. But in this day, Pilate is in the judge seat, and so we see Pilate's consultation. He realizes this is going to be difficult no matter what he does. He understands he's not going to get any truth out of the Jews. They've already set everything up. And so very early in the process, he turns his attention to Jesus. And he challenges Jesus to give him an answer, because he has the power in the human realm to let Jesus go free or to see Jesus die. Jesus is questioned in verse 11, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Uh-oh, something's happened. You see, he was tried by the Jews in the Sanhedrin. He was convicted by the Jews in the Sanhedrin. Do you remember what he was convicted of? He was convicted of blasphemy. But what Pilate says to him indicates that they have changed the charge. Isn't it interesting that they had a charge that was a reason for murder if you were a Jew, reason to put him to death? But when they come before Pilate, they change that capital offense for the Jews. Can you do that? Well, apparently they could. He had spoken in verse 26, chapter 26, verse 55, it says, he has spoken blasphemy, and they found him guilty of blasphemy. But you see, if they came to Pilate and said, we found him guilty, he's a blasphemer, Pilate would have said, so? In Roman law, there was no such thing as the law against blasphemy. But there was a law against treason. They accused Jesus of claiming to be the king of the Jews. They accused Jesus of setting up another kingdom. They accused Jesus of opposing Caesar. To oppose Caesar was to be guilty of treason. The charge of blasphemy would just be laughed away. But there's something else behind this. You see, had he been convicted of blasphemy and had he been sentenced for blasphemy and had he been executed for blasphemy, that meant that execution would have been done totally by the Jews. They did not crucify. Their means of capital punishment was stoning someone to death. Had Jesus been stoned to death, he would not have been the Messiah. You see, the Romans were very different in how they carried out their punishments. Hundreds of years before the trial of Jesus, David wrote a psalm directed by the Holy Spirit to tell how the Messiah would die. And in Psalms 22, he says, they pierce my hands and my feet. David was very clearly pointing to crucifixion, even though he didn't know it. And, you know, without the crucifixion, you might not know it. At the time David wrote, no one was crucified, for it was not a form of punishment. It would be several years before people would actually be put to a cross. So David knew by God how Jesus would die. Now, had Jewish law prevailed, had Jesus been stoned, his hands and his feet would not have been pierced. That would have mean either the scriptures were wrong, which would mean we have no basis for faith, or Jesus was not the Messiah. But you see, God has this planned out all the time. Jesus would not be stoned to death. Jesus would be crucified. He would prove the scriptures true, and he would prove himself to be who he claimed to be, the Messiah. Pilate asks, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answers that question. He says, it is as you say. Yes, I am. Jesus spoke the truth. He was the promised Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You need to crown Jesus as the King of your heart and your life. Listen, there are many things coming into your world to try to take Jesus' place. Don't let that happen. Let Jesus be the one you look to every morning, all the day long, at night when you go to bed, and when you dream through the night. Let Jesus be Lord of all. In verse 12, the chief priests and scribes accuse Jesus. Pilate sees Jesus just take it. He doesn't say anything to them. In verse 13, he says, don't you hear their accusations? In 14, and he answered him not a word. Pilate was marveled. The Bible predicts Jesus would respond in this exact manner. that there would be times when he would not respond. In Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Pilate expected Jesus to do what most prisoners did, try to talk their way out of the problem, try to give excuses for the situation, trying to prove that they were innocent. And most people try to prove their innocence by blaming somebody else. We are big in the blame game in America. Everybody's pointing fingers, almost breaking their arms in order to point their fingers at somebody else, that somebody else is to blame. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a simple rule. They broke that rule, and when they had sinned, Adam said, "God, it's that woman that you gave me that's the problem." Eve said, "It was the serpent who was the problem." Everybody trying to blame someone else. The Bible says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." We are all personally accountable for our own behavior. We are accountable for our own sins. Jesus did not answer. Jesus was going to take the penalty for our sins. Pilate, in his consultation, was not comfortable at all with this situation. And so we see Pilate's confrontation in verse 15. At the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner who they would. Pilate's looking for some scapegoat, some way out, some way to solve this situation. He knows, he is totally convinced that Jesus is innocent. He even declares that this man has done no wrong. In verse 18, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." The Jewish leaders are jealous of Jesus. Think of it. The crowds didn't follow the Jewish leaders. The crowds followed Jesus. The crowds didn't shout Hosanna in the highest when the Jewish leaders came around. They shouted that for Jesus. Why doesn't Pilate just do what he knows is right? Why doesn't he just follow justice? He has the power to set Jesus free. He knows Jesus has done no wrong. Why doesn't he set him free? Because Pilate has a bad case of politician's disease. He's more interested in his office than he is in the truth. You see, he has to see which way the wind is blowing before he's going to make a ruling and a decision. May I tell you, we are in a dangerous day. For we are in a day when we are governed by people who are wind watchers. And I've got to tell you, as a Christian, if you have leaders that are waiting to see which way the wind is blowing, stir the wind. We need to sit outside and puff if we have to change the wind. And let me be very clear. There is a bill now going to the Senate that has already been passed by the House called the Equality Act. The Equality Act is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation to a Christian that there has ever been. I urge you, even though your senator may not be in agreement with you, let your senators know that you're in opposition to the Equality Act. The Equality Act puts women's rights in great jeopardy. And not to mention the pulpits of America. And so be very careful about that. Stir the wind. We need people to do what is right, because it is right. We need leaders that will do what is right because it is right, not because they just want to hold on to their job. There was a custom that Pilate thought might save him. The ruler of the area was wont to let someone go at the time of the Passover. And as he thought about it, it was a good plan. In his jail, he had one of the most despicable people of all of Israel. His name, Barabbas. Barabbas was a known murderer. Barabbas was an insurrectionist. Barabbas stood against Rome, but Barabbas also stood against most of the Jews. And so here is Barabbas, a man that he knew everyone hated, and then he had Jesus. He knew what Jesus had done. Jesus had healed the sick. Jesus had given peace to people. Jesus is reportedly to have risen the dead. Certainly, if he gives people the choice, any thinking person would set Jesus free. Then there were the Jews. There was a group that hated Jesus in leadership, and there was a group that wanted Jesus dead. Pilate figures he's got a win-win. But the Jewish leaders are going to make it a lose-lose. In verse 17, "Whom shall I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus?" People still have to decide that type of question every day. Every day you will face an issue, and you are going to have to decide, is it Jesus or is it something else? Is it Jesus or is it someone else? Am I going to put Jesus first, or is something else going to take the lead? Will you choose what is morally right, or will you move to what is questionable? Will I lift up Jesus in my life, or will I lift up someone else or something else? Will I let something else take the place of worshiping him? Will I let something else take the place of serving him? Pilate really wants to let Jesus go free. I really believe that. I believe he was torn. I believe he wanted to try to do the just thing. He just didn't want to make the call. Oh, how we need politicians who will have the guts to make the right call. Pilate gets a message from his wife. Now, Pilate is a busy guy. Pilate is the governor of the land. Pilate works for Caesar. Pilate is really busy, but he gets a message from his wife. You see, even then, wives could get through. And you know, he doesn't get a text. No, he gets a personal message from her, and she lets it be known that she has been bothered in a dream. And you know, this is very late at night or very early in the morning, and she has been unable to sleep because of this dream that she had. She knows that Jesus is a just man. She doesn't want anyone to do harm to him. Certainly, she doesn't want her husband involved with him. In verse 13, he says, "Don't have anything to do with that just man. I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." She had heard of Jesus. I'm sure she had talked about Jesus. It was on her mind. It was in her sleep. "Don't have anything to do with that just man." If there was any idea that Jesus was evil, any idea that Jesus was against, what was good, she would have said that. But her trauma was not in the fact that Jesus was bad. Her trauma was in that Jesus was good. The Jews had found him innocent and convicted him to die. Pilate is about to do exactly the same thing. Pilate hears his wife, and he hears the mob. Now, in the delay, the devil is good about giving delays. In the delay, while he is dealing with the message from his wife, the Jewish leaders are dealing with the crowd. And they are sowing discord in the crowd. They are letting the crowd know that they need to let Jesus go to the cross, and they need to let Barabbas go. In verse 20, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. That little bit of time was all that was needed. Now listen, when God tells you to do right and you know to do right, then the time to do right is at that time. Don't put it off. Don't fall short of doing what God is leading you to do. If there's an opportunity you have to tell someone about Jesus and God is telling you, you need to tell that person about Jesus, oh, listen, there will be all kinds of hesitations come in the way. Don't wait. That may be the only moment you have, and in just a few seconds, a phone can ring or a message can come, and that opportunity will be gone. We need to act for God when God calls us to act. Do not blindly go with the crowd. Stand with Jesus. Pilate's not really aware that they've influenced the crowd. At this time, he just comes back. Which of the two do you want me to release unto you, Jesus or Barabbas? He is astonished when the crowd says Barabbas. In fact, he's so dumbfounded by it, he asks the crowd, well, what shall I do with Jesus? He thinks that they may want Jesus released too. Still trying to let him go. They say, crucify him. Pilate is still in a state of shock. Why? What evil has he done? Let him be crucified. Understand, they did not say what evil he had done. They just shouted out the judgment. Pilate's question is life's questions. What shall I do with Jesus? In these next days, you'll be asked that question. It'll come to your heart. What are you going to do with Jesus? As you approach Easter and an opportunity to touch lives for him, what are you going to do with Jesus? Everybody must answer this question. No one can avoid it. No one can answer it for you. You have to decide. You're either for him or you are against him. And we see Pilate's capitulation in verse 24. When he saw he could not prevail, he gets water and washes his hands and says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Oh, Pilate. It's going to take a lot more than a bowl of water to take care of this guilt. There's a legend told about Pilate. It is said that Pilate became very compulsive about an activity. He was always wringing his hands and he was always washing his hands. He was washing his hands before COVID was ever heard of. He continually had people bringing him water and he would continually wring his hands, washing his hands, trying to get rid of the blood of Jesus that he knew that he was responsible for. But Pilate was responsible for his actions. My friend, you and I are responsible for our actions. We are responsible before God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood that Pilate wanted to get off of his hands is the only thing that could save his soul. It's the only thing that could save yours or mine. He turns Jesus over to be tortured, to be scourged. Not a surprise to God. For God had said, he is wounded for our transgressions. He is bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. When they beat Jesus, he was taking our beating. They strip him. They put thorns on his head. When those thorns pierce his scalp, it is a symbol of the curse of sin. Jesus was innocent of any sin. That means he was taking my curse. He was pierced for me. They spit on Jesus. They mock Jesus. They lead him away to be crucified. Here's Pilate, an arrogant governor who knew what was right but did not choose it. What about you? Listen, we are in a day when our very faith is being challenged. We're in a day when people are driving people away from church. We're in a day when you're going to have to take a stand. What are you going to do with Jesus? In 2021, would you make a determination that Pilate did not have the guts to make? Would you know that Jesus is Lord of all, that he indeed is the Christ, not just in word, but he is the Christ in all ways? Would you put him as Lord of your heart, Lord of your life, Lord of your all? Would you be willing to serve him? Would you be willing to follow him? Would you be willing to let the world know that Jesus is Lord of all? And whether anybody follows him or not, you will. I pray that you will. I pray that I will. And Jesus will be lifted up. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask now that you would move within our hearts. Father, search us and know us. Father, I pray in this moment, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, Father, that hears these words, that Father, that they would come to a realization of who Jesus is and their need to let Jesus be the Lord of all of their life. And Father, for believers that are here, Father, that we would also not betray you, but that we would put you as Lord of our life, and that Jesus would be Lord of all that we are, of all that we do. And even if others turn away from you, Father, let us not turn away from you. Let us hold to you, Father, and stand in your victory and share your victory with those around us. Father, we pray. We pray for a revival to sweep our church, to sweep the hearts of our people, Father, that would lift up Jesus above all. And Father, we pray for souls to make the right choice about Jesus. Let it start here. Let it start with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, take the cards, make sure that you fill them out, place them in the bucket as you leave.